Hello and welcome to this week's reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. Do you know anyone who likes to name drop famous people that they've met or even that they may know personally? Perhaps you are one of those people who likes to mention who it is you know. We all have this obsession with fame and celebrity status, and if we don't personally have it, we like to know someone who does, almost as if their status somehow rubs off on us just by association. It's a sad fact of life that who you know often matters more than what you know, or even who you are. But is that all I am? Am I truly only who I know? Is that what my identity is made up of? Just opinions and thoughts from the other people? To help us look at this topic of image and identity and its relation to who we know, we will be looking at various passages in the Bible, mostly focusing on the book of Proverbs. Because of the nature of Proverbs, we'll be looking at select Proverbs from all over the book, and as such, I will read these when it comes time to reference them, rather than having a Bible passage that I read at the beginning. We'll start by looking at the influence of family and or other people who have a significant impact during childhood. Am I my family? I read a quote which suggested, "We can know ourselves only as reflected in the eyes of others. Consequently, our basic endowment of self-appreciation is largely the gift of our parents." Is this true? Do we truly only know ourselves because of the reflections we see in the eyes of others? It is certainly clear that we are at least shaped in part by our upbringing and our associations in early life. Our younger years are called our formative years because it is in these years that we begin to grow in awareness and develop a sense of self. Apparently, the first 3 or 4 years of life are a period when the toddler's brain grows to about 2/3 its full size. It grows in complexity at a greater rate than it ever will again. So I guess it makes sense that we are shaped, at least in part, by the relationships we have during those early years. But do we derive our identity from those interactions? And what does that mean for us as we grow up into adulthood? I'm now going to read from Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 12. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. The Bible has a lot in it about the need for parents to teach their children in good, godly ways, which seems to echo this sense that we are shaped by our parents, our wider family, and the people around us in our childhood years. Proverbs 3 starts with the father saying to his son, "My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." This suggests that the teachings we are told by our parents will affect the direction of our lives. However, as demonstrated in Proverbs 3, it is not merely the influence of the family that has an impact on a person's identity, because shortly after that opening statement, the father goes on to say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. I find this incredibly comforting. I have been blessed with having wonderful parents to teach and guide me, and I thank God for this. But I know that this is not the case for everyone. Families can shape us in amazingly positive ways, or horrifyingly negative ways, or anything in between. So it is truly comforting to realise that God can enhance the positive experiences and redeem the negative ones by welcoming us into his family. His family is better than even the most amazing earthly family. By accepting God's invitation, we choose to take on what God says about us rather than what our earthly family says. God's voice can overpower any negative viewpoint, and he can boost any positive reinforcement you received as a child. Are you listening out for God the Father's voice as he tells you who you are? Are you listening as he speaks words of truth over you, washing away the lies and misunderstandings that you may have heard growing up? The influence of family is a powerful force, but God is more powerful still. So we've considered how family can influence our identity and how God can enhance or redeem those influences. And so we turn to the influence of our friends and our peers. The book of Proverbs has lots to say about the influence that friends can have. Proverbs 27 verse 17 reminds us, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We influence each other just by associating with one another. And this influence can be a positive and useful impact, but it can equally be just as negative, as is highlighted by another proverb, this time from Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. The influence of friends is well known to us all. We all know the power of peer pressure and its ability to affect the way we behave. And so Proverbs also cautions us about the way we allow our friends to influence ourselves. When thinking about our identity and its relationship to our friendships, it is important to know that we are not bound by our relationships. It is not our relationships that define our identity, but rather we have the autonomy to choose our friendships because of our identity. And so I would respectfully disagree with the quote that I mentioned earlier, which suggested we can know ourselves only as reflected in the eyes of others, because our identity is not formed for us by other people. If we live our lives constantly trying to please others, we lose our sense of self. Another author wrote, I surrendered myself to the cages of others' expectations, cultural mandates, and institutional allegiances until I buried who I was in order to become what I should be. I lost myself when I learned how to please. The author of this quote reflects the truth of Proverbs 22 by demonstrating how easy it is to get ensnared by the habits, desires, and wishes of others, so much so that we lose any sense of who we are. Another proverb, Proverbs 19 verse 20 says, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end you will be counted among the wise. This reminds us that it is good to listen to the advice of friends if they help to point us in wise and good directions. But we should not allow ourselves to define who we are or who we think we should be. God wants us to have confidence in our identities as the unique, loved, special people that he made us to be. If God wanted us to be like someone else, he would have made us that way. But he didn't. Because God wanted you to be like you, and he wanted me to be like me. Our identity does not come from our family, or our childhood, or our upbringing. Our identity does not come from our friends or the company we keep. These may all shape us and have an impact on us, but they do not have a say on who we are. In the first week of the series, we reminded ourselves that our identity does not come from the world or from what society or culture says about us. And last week, we remembered that our identity does not come from the facts and statistics about us. All of these things do influence us, but none of them can give people an accurate impression of our identity. I can only find out about who I am by hearing from the great I am, from God himself. Only by trusting in what God says about us can we be sure about our true identity. Of course, it's easy to say this, but how do we hear what God says to us? How can we root our identity in him? Firstly, we need to open ourselves completely to God and ask him to show us and for us to be ready to see, to ask him to teach us and for us to be ready to listen. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to our hearts and be ready to listen to what he tells us. Part of being open to what he says is to acknowledge and recognize the voices that have tried to dictate our identity to us. The hardest question we have to ask ourselves in this life is, who am I? Ideally, we answer it for ourselves, but be warned that others will strive to do it for you, so don't let them. That's what one author said. Others try to give the answers that only God can give us. And we need to recognise where we have taken on the identities that other people have given us, rather than what God says of us. So I want you to take a moment to pause and reflect upon who you are. Try to pinpoint those things that other people have told you about yourself, whether they're positive or negative. And once you have identified something, go to God with it. Run it past God and see whether he affirms it or rebukes it. When God speaks, we need to open ourselves, open our hearts, not just to hear, but to truly listen. It is so easy for us to miss God's voice. Sometimes he speaks in the loud, dramatic things, in ways that force us to listen. But sometimes he speaks to us in the gentle, quiet whisper that is so easy to miss. Most often, God speaks to us through scripture. But no matter how, God is always speaking to us. He speaks to you. He speaks words of truth and wisdom that seek to affirm you and your identity in him, an identity that is unchanged by any of the voices of people in the world, an identity that is uniquely and distinctly yours because he made you precious, unique, like no one else. So we need to open ourselves to hear what God says. But then we also have to accept his wisdom as truth and deny anything else that contradicts what he says. This is a lot easier to do, this is a lot easier to say than to actually do. When we have been told things about ourselves repeatedly throughout our lives, we tend to internalize it and accept it as truth. The lies that we have heard about ourselves can often be painful and deep-rooted. And so it is okay to be affected over what that lie has said about you. It is okay to take the time to grieve if the lie has caused you pain. It is okay to feel sorrow. Invite God into that place of brokenness and pain and allow him to put his healing hands upon you to overcome the pain with his merciful love and his power. Realigning our identity to God and to who God says we are can be a painful experience, as we acknowledge all the falsehoods that have attached themselves to our identity. Sometimes God needs to chip away at those things, like a sculptor making a beautiful piece of artwork out of a lump of rock. The sculptor chisels away to reveal the true beauty within. God chisels away the falsehoods, misunderstandings, prides, shames, to reveal the true beauty within us, the beauty and wonder of the person God made us. Will we allow God to chisel away those parts that conceal our true identity? Will we accept what God says about us as the truth? And will we reject those lies that we have told ourselves and that others have told us? So before I finish, I'm just going to say a prayer. God, you know that we have all heard lies, misinformation, misunderstandings about who we are, told to us by others, by ourselves even. And Lord, these things can be painful. They can hurt deep within. And we take these identities on because we have heard it so often. But Lord, I pray that we hear your voice, overpowering all those lies, overcoming all that pain. And you tell us, Lord, the truth. You tell us the wonder of who you have made us to be. And so for each person listening to this, Lord, I pray that you would reveal your truth to them. Reveal to them the amazing person you have made them to be. And Lord, be with them as they grieve over the pain that they have felt through the lies and falsehoods that have been told to them. Comfort them as they soothe the pain that they feel. And Lord, help us to show them the beauty within. We thank you, Lord, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. All your works are wonderful. We know this full well. Amen. No matter who we surround ourselves with, no matter who we know, our identity is not found in them. We are not who we know. We are what God says of us. The only voice worth hearing on the topic of our identities is God's. Other people's opinion on who you are, no matter how well-meaning or how spiteful, is immaterial if they do not match up to what God says of you. Whenever you hear something from someone else, take time to ask God about it. Let him be the measure of how you view yourself.